Morning. Today's Daf and Brachos is Mem Ches. We are literally on the top of the Amud. We're starting with the words V'leisechus HaKochol HaNishmaita. The halacha follows like none of the above. So obviously we need a little context. Otherwise the Gemara over here is, you know, in a vacuum. It doesn't work. So let's go back to what we were yesterday. Yesterday the Gemara on Mem Zayin. So a number of really important discussions we discussed on yesterday's Daf, having respect while traveling, who should be Botzea, who should be Mevarech. We talked about general manners at a meal with a communal bowl. We spoke about the halachas of Amen. We spoke about foods that are on the border between kosher and non-kosher. And we spoke about an Amma Aretz. And yesterday we spoke about who could be Mitzar for a Zeman. The last topic of yesterday's Daf, if you look at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, so we talked about who could be mitzaref towards a zimun. It started with a comment by Rabbi Yossi, probably the correct gears is Rabbi Asi, but either way, so he says something which is amazing. He says that if you have a baby in the crib, so he could be mezamnim alav, you can make a zimun together with him. You're not going to get much in terms of answering, and I'm not really sure what the kid ate, but it doesn't matter. He says you could be mezamnim on him. The Gemara says that's difficult because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you cannot be mezamen with a katan. The Mishnah is a solid source. Seems to indicate that Rav Asi is not correct. The Gemara said, yeah, you misunderstood. Rav Asi is really going like Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Now, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said something which is not as drastic. It's still a chiddush, but it's not as drastic. And that is that you can't make a zeman with a katan with a baby, but osin snifla sara. But what you can do is you can add him towards a sara. 10 people together are going to make a zeman. Not only going to make a zeman, but a super zeman. They're going to say Shem Hashem. And so if that 10th is a baby, so that to that, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that's where you can mitzarif a katan. And when we say katan, we could be talking about a baby. And that's what Rav Asi meant. Okay. So let's right now call that the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It was first presented by Rav Asi, but we're going to call that the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. And then you go back over yesterday's daf, and we saw other issues as well. We saw Rabbi Eliezer coming to shul. Now, I'll give you the final version of the story. There were only 8 in the shul. He had 2 avadim with him. So what he did is he freed one, so now made him a full-fledged Jew. So now they're at 9 at the minyan, and they commit mitzarif even the Eved Kenani. And that's how they got to a minyan. So once again, what we're seeing is this idea that you're almost there, and you can take someone who normally is not a bar chiyuv, and you can apply him towards that 10th person. The Gemara went on from there. The Gemara made some agadic statements, coming early to shul. It's really important. Be for one of the first 10. You're going to get the scar of everybody. The Gemara then went on to make other interesting math decisions. Tisha and an Aaron, 9 people together with the Aaron are going to be mitzarif. The Gemara quickly corrects that. The Aaron's not a person. What Gemara meant is that that 9 people, if configured correctly, so they can count towards a minion. What does that mean, configured correctly? So the Gemara had a couple positions. Either they were spread out in the room or they were clustered close together. The Gemara says 2 people in Shabbos can be mitzarif. Again, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Shabbos is not a person. So the Gemara said, you're right. What we meant is 2 Talmid Chachamim can make a Zimun together. Because the Mechadin Zed Zeb Alacha, the Gemara then said Rav Chis and Rav Sheshes, demonstrating that if the 2 of them sat together, in principle they can make Zimun. And then the Gemara quoted Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, Katan Poreach Mezamnim Alav. That if you have the Katan who has developed physically, but not yet has arrived at the Bar Mitzvah age, so you can make a Zimun together with him. Now presumably Rav Yochanan is talking about Zimun of 3. Now that part's not clear. He didn't say that. But presumably that's what he's talking about. And the Gemara says, what about the Braisa? The Gemara says, well, we could learn the Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. That is all now. Now we could say it. That's all a summary of what we saw regarding who could be Mitzaref. So the Gemara threw out a lot of information. And then the Gemara says, and now we'll pick it up where we left off from yesterday. And now the Gemara says, V'leisuchos ha-kochol ha-nishmaitetam. So the halacha is like none of the above. Now, the question, which I'm going to ask right now but not answer, is how much is the Gemara just rejected? I know the Gemara is rejected. I mean, here's things that we all know. The Gemara certainly reject 9 doesn't count towards a minion. The Gemara rejected that. I'm sorry, the Gemara's rejecting 9 does count as a minion. Okay, that's a better way to say it. We know. We know that the Gemara rejects 2 people who are Talmid Chacham and can create a Zeman. We know the Gemara rejects that. Meaning those are the things that are clearly, we're on the chopping block. Okay, so in a moment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to answer that question a little bit more in detail in terms of what exactly the Gemara rejected. But in the meantime, however, so the Gemara says we're rejecting that. So if we're rejecting that, so what are we accepting? So the Gemara says, Ela kihadam Rav Nachman, katnei odel mimavachim azamnim alav. So the Gemara says, we are going to accept the statement of Rav Nachman, which is that if I have a katan and he has cognitive ability, he has some basic understanding, who are we benching to? He has some basic understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're thanking Hashem for the food we're eating. You can make a zimun, you can make a zimun together with him. And then the Gemara tells a story. Abai v'Rav Avi Yasri come to Rabba. So Abai and Ravan presumably in this story. So they are their children. And they're sitting in front of Rabba. Amar le Rabba. Lemima varchin. And so Rabbi asked the question, "Nu, who are we benching towards?" So Amar le l'Rachmana. So they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Rachmana hechi yasiv. And says, where's Hashem? Okay. V'Rav Achve l'shmei tala. So Rava is inside, so Rava points up, he points to the ceiling. And Abai nafik lebra, and Abai goes outside and he points to the sky. Now obviously there has to be significance in terms of the fact that they both are pointing in the general direction, but Abai has to go outside. There has to be significance to that. I don't know if I'm going to, I do have a suggestion, but I'm not going to, not for now. Anyway, achve kapishmai, and he pointed towards the heaven. So amalu rabba tarvaychu rabbanan havisu. And so Rabbi says, okay, so based on your answer, so I'm forecasting the two of you are going to become Talmidei Chachamim. So Haina Dami, Inshe Butzim, Butzim Mikatfei Yediyah. And the Gemara says, and look, you, if you want to see, if you want to know what a pumpkin is going to look like, so go to the seed, and you can already see from the, either from the seed or from the flowering, and you can see what kind of pumpkin you're going to get. In other words, if you know what you're looking at, of course, so then you can project and you can forecast what exactly a person is going to become, even at an early stage. Okay, so the Gemara now is accepted as this idea that you could take somebody who, as long as they have understanding, they're not a gadol, as long as they have understanding of who they're being mevarach to, so that person can combine and contribute to a zimun. Okay, as far as the halacha is concerned, the Shulchan Aruch does accept this rule of Rav Nachman, and the Shulchan Aruch does allow for a third person to be added to the zimun, even though they are not a gadol, as long as they are, as long as they have a basic understanding, like the Gemara over here says. So the Shulchan Aruch Pasan is like Rav Nachman. Okay. With that stated, we're going to go back quickly. There is, the discussion over here is extraordinarily long and really elaborate. And I'm not going to take the time right now to go through all of it, but I will highlight something on the daf itself. You see Tosfos over here. Tosfos is very long. Tosfos is covering more than half the Amud. Tosfos over here discusses exactly what the Gemara has rejected previously. And it is a fair question. It's not only a fair question, an important question. When the Gemara says, cancel everything, all of the above, so what exactly are we canceling? So Tosfos over here quotes the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam writes as follows. And you can follow me as I'm going to read inside. Rabbeinu Tam is about 10 lines down from the top of Tosfos, Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, look, we rejected everything that we said above. Miyu. So here's what the Gemara has not rejected. According to Rabbi Natam, you can have a baby, an infant, and that infant can be added to make a minion. Meaning that could be number 10. The statement of Rav Nachman that we just learned together, that Zeman Bishlosha. For Zeman Bishlosha, a baby doesn't work. It needs to be a young man. It needs to be a boy who has cognitive ability. But when it comes to the Asara, Zimun Asara, it could be even a baby. And Tosfos says, and even though the Gemara says cancel all of the above, it's not going back all the way to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And Rabbi Natan makes arguments based on the flow of the Gemara that this is in fact so. And let's go down a little bit in the Rabbi Natan. I'm just showing you the highlights of this Rabbi Natan. Just drop down like another 10 more lines. It's the last one in the line is Aval. Avan osin oso snif la sara perish lebirchas amazon v'hu adin letfila. This opinion of Rabbi Natan that you could take a baby and make him number 10 towards a zimun is also going to be true regarding minyan as well. And Rabbi Natan makes an observation that Dr. K made yesterday. De bahalo palik Rav Nachman. De chiba yodeo parech ked depirsha hanim lezim shlosha. Again, he reiterates that when it comes to this idea that you have to have cognitive ability, that's for Zima Shlosha. Aval l'snif, moder v'shum alevi, d'snif al-sarev v'hu adin l'tfila. D'kat mitzarev, that you can have a minor here, even meaning a baby. V'deken anami d'parach alam, maisa d'rabbi Eliezer, shayol l'tfila. L'rev v'shum alevi, d'mari b'berchaz amazon. Because look how the Gemara yesterday seamlessly transitioned from talking about benching and Zimun to Minyan. And the story of Rabbi Eliezer and his Avadim. And that was about Minyan. So it doesn't matter. So Rabbeinu Tam adopts this position that if you need a tenth, doesn't have to be a man, doesn't even have to be a boy, it could be a baby. Now that is
even a female baby.
No, he doesn't say that. So the I hear your point, but he doesn't say that. Okay. First of all, I know everyone's follow-up question: do we hold like this, Rabbeinu Tam? The answer is no. But but it's certainly interesting, and it begs thought in terms of what exactly is the svar? Why buy a minion for that tenth person? Can it be such a loose and easygoing connection in terms of getting to minyan, where I don't have an adult, I don't even have a kid who's a bar hachi, who's a bar chinuch, I got a baby, okay, count them, ring him up towards minyan, ring him up towards super zimun. It's a really interesting position. There's another line in this Tosfos which I'm going to highlight as well, which Tosfos writes as follows: v'yesh, it is the second to last narrow line in the Tosfos. V'yesh mitzarfin katan latfilah rak she'eh chumash biyado. Now here's what some have a minute to do. And that is that, look, they're short on a minyan. There are nine people over there. We need to get to a tenth. So what they do is they take a katan. Now here in this minhag, not to confuse the minhag with Rabbeinu Tam, meaning Rabbeinu Tam shita is Rabbeinu Tam shita. There is this minhag that Tosfos now is describing where they get a katan. Presumably he's a bar chinuch, but not clear. And he's holding a chumash in his hands. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Now on that Rabbeinu Tam says, minhag shtosu. So that is a silly minhag, says Rabbi Natam. It's a foolish minhag. And Rabbi Natam says, look, I don't have to cite some Gemara somewhere out there in Shas. I'll cite our Gemara, the Gemara that we did at the end of yesterday's daf. And that is when the Gemara suggested that Tisha v'aro, nine and an Aron can make a minion. And the Gemara immediately reacts and says, the Aron's not a person. Aron's not a person. So now, Rabbi Natam says, so now you put the chumash in the kid's hand. Okay, now the chumash makes the person a bar hachi. The chumash is not a person. Okay. So Rabbi Natam describes that minhag as a minhag shtus. Now that minhag shtus, by the way, finds its way throughout Ashkenazic halacha. Right? The Ramah brings it down as well. Ramah doesn't totally endorse it, but in other words, it is an old minhag. Chances are people in this room actually saw this minhag put into practice. It is an old minhag. You see, Rabbeinu Tam is not a fan of that minhag at all. It will be now one of two times this morning where I'm going to show you Tosfos describing something as a minhag shtus. I don't know how many dapim you get like this, but there will be a little bit later this morning. We're going to go back to this idea of something being a minhag shtus. Okay, so just to recap, in terms of mitzarfus for a demon, so the Gemara threw out a lot of ideas. The Gemara rejected all those ideas. The Gemara ended up with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that you can have somebody be mitzarif for a zimun if they are yodei lamim avarchin, as long as they know who they are benching towards. The Gemara brought in the story of Rav and Abaye. They both showed that they knew who they were benching to, and therefore they can be combined towards a zimun. And and we went over this morning also the really highly interesting opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam says that for a minyan and for a super zimun, so that tenth person can be even a katan, even a baby, which again is not the halacha, but it's certainly an interesting position, and it begs so much thought. We're going to go back to the Gemara. Oh, just one more parenthetical point. Ashkenazim, in terms of Zimun for Shlosha. So the Gemara over here is really clear, but the Ramah says that Ashkenazim do not help themselves to this position of Rav Nachman. Why that should be is its own separate discussion. But anyway, we Ashkenazim, we need three adult males in order to make Zimun. Okay, not what the Gemara allowed. I'm reviewed a bereid of Shmuel Barshilas Mishmed Rav Tisha Achlu Dagan VeEchad Achal Yerek Mitzarfin. Okay, so now we are basically going to go over the limits of making a Zimun Basara. Again, the idea of Zimun Basara is that now that there are 10 men over there, so now you can say Shem Hashem, Nevarech Elokeinu Shalchanu Mishalom. So we are now want to know: do we need all 10 of them to eat bread? And the answer is going to be no. Now, Tisha Achlu Dagam Echad Achlu Yerek Mitzarfin. 9 ate bread and 1 ate a vegetable, so that could create Zirif. Amar Zerah, by me name Rav Yehuda, Shmona Mahu. What if it's 8 eating bread and 2 having a vegetable? Shiva Mahu. So what if it's 7 eating bread, 3 not eating bread? Loshna, the Gemara, Vamarle Loshna. And he says to him that doesn't make a difference. Shisha, now the Girsa over here, the Gemara, is a little bit tricky. So it sounds like from Rashi, Vailo Lomi Baili. I didn't ask about 6, and I regret not having asked about 6. I should have asked about 6. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Shapar, Avadaloi Bailach. How sometime am I Mishum Dika Ruba, Hachanami Karuba? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, I think the answer is pretty self-evident. If 8 people eating bread and 7 people eating bread is good enough, what's the svara? Svara is that they are a majority. So if 6 are eating bread, so 6 is also a majority. So I think you're in the clear. Even though you didn't ask about the number 6, I think it is that if 6 ate bread, and if 4 of them did not eat bread, but as long as they ate something, they could say Shem Hashem. So v'iyus avaruba dimin kabi'inan. Now, on the other hand, the Rabbi Zera felt he should have asked about 6. Because in his mind, he can make a distinction between 6 and 7. There's what's called rov, which is just simply you're over 50%. So in our case of 10, that would be 6. Or there could be super rov. Super rov, or the Gemara's terminology, ruba deminkar. Meaning it needs to be a significant rov. And so 6 is just 1 over 50%. That's not significant. Ruba deminkar over here would be 7. Would be 8. 9, obviously. That would be ruba deminkar. He can make such a distinction. Why would you make such a distinction? Not clear. The Gemara doesn't really give a svar why that should be. But he says, but maybe such a distinction could be made. And so therefore, in order to make a zimun using Shem Hashem, so you would need not 6, but you would need 7. Okay. The Gemara continues now with the following. We are going to start with a story, just a little bit of background to the story. We're going to be discussing once again Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech was a Chashmonaim king towards the end of Baisheni. He was a descendant of Cohen, but most probably he himself wasn't a Cohen. There probably either his mother or somebody in the lineage was taken into captivity. Violated, and so in terms of the actual kahuna, he didn't have real kohen status. Okay, and the chachamim knew this, and he had a really really rough time. On one hand, feeling that he was a kohen; on the other hand, chachamim not assigning him that kohen status. And so, as a pretty normal reaction, he killed off all the chachamim. The story gets even a little bit stranger because, as we're going to see right now, so he sat down with a meal with his wife and he wanted a bench. The problem is that he didn't have any education. He didn't have any Jewish education. He didn't know how to bench. Now, it's a little bit strange that the person who killed off Chachmei Yisrael, so is now interested in Birchas HaMazon, he's interested in benching. Okay, but this is what's called the human condition. So we're a little strange like that. And so fine. So on one hand, in terms of Ritzicha, I know it's up there in the Aseret HaDibros, number 6. So that one didn't bother him much. But in terms of benching, okay, he felt compelled to bench. So now it led him to the following dilemma. I know the story's strange. I'm aware. It led him to the following dilemma that he ate and he wanted a bench and he didn't have anyone to bench in his behalf. So out come, let's bring out Shimon Meshetach. Shimon Meshetach with his brother-in-law. And he did not kill Shimon Meshetach out of respect for his wife. So it was his wife's brother. And so now there's Shimon Meshetach. So we're going to now have an unbelievable dialogue between Yanai Melech and Shimon Meshetach. Let's see the Gemara inside. So Yanai Melech, together with his wife, they broke bread. And the Gemara says it so casually. I can't tell you how much I love the way the Gemara says it. And by virtue of the fact that he killed off all the rabbis, he had nobody to bench on his behalf. So he says to his wife, you know anybody that can bench on our behalf? Obviously, she understood who he's making reference to. So she says, look, here's what you're going to have to do. It's very simple. You're going to swear to me that I'm going to bring a guy, and again, we all know who the guy is. I'm going to bring a guy, but you can't kill him. Okay, can you do that? So ishtabalah. So he swore to her. So Isisai l'shimah meshetach achua. So she brings Shimon Meshetach, her brother. So Uzra bin Didei l'dida. And so now the Gemara paints perhaps one of the greatest pictures you're going to see, and that is now the two of them, king and queen, and Shimon Meshetach sitting right between the two of them. So Amar lechazisa kamikaravina lach. So now, Yanai Melech and Shimon Meshet Achu, to say the very least, hate one another. So the king says to Shimon Meshetach, you know, look how we're honoring you right now. So Amarlei, so Shimon Meshetach was not at a loss for response. Amarlei lav at kamokritli, ela araisuhu demokritli. You're not giving me the honor. It's the Torah, it's the fact that I learned Torah, that's what's giving me honor. Don't give yourself any credit. Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Mishlei, sasalav teram emeka, tichab decha, ki tichab kena, that if you engage yourself in the Torah, right, sasal, that's a great term, like you're like rolling in the Torah, so teram emeka will elevate you, and if you embrace it, so it's going to give you kavod. So in other words, it's not you who's giving me kavod, it's the Torah giving me kavod. Amala kachazita lamekabal maras. So the king is so frustrated with his brother-in-law. You can't accept authority upon you. Yavu lekasa levruche. So what do? They gave the cup to Shimon Meshetach, knew you're going to bench. So Amar hechi averech. So Shimon Meshetach says to his brother-in-law, what do you expect me now to say? Baruch she'achal Yanai v'chaver mishalo. I'm so happy that Yanai was able to eat. In other words, you haven't served me anything. I haven't eaten with you. Benching doesn't work where I just simply sit here and bench for you. I have to be eating with you. Okay, so we have a technical problem over here. And the solution, really interesting. Shas yalo kasa. So what Shimon Meshetra does is he takes that first cup of wine that was given to him and he drinks it. And that qualifies now as his meal. And now he's going to bench. Now you remember at the end of the sixth parak, we learned together in the Mishnayos a machlokas in terms of what warrants benching. So it was a three-way machlokas between the Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim say you have to eat bread in order to bench. Rabbi Gamliel said any one of the Shiva Saminim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it can even be cabbage, as long as you're eating the stalk. as long as it's your meal. So anyway, so over here, and we know, of course, the normative approach, the accepted approach is a Chachamim. You have to eat bread. And so over here, in a pinch, what Shimon Meshetach did is that over the cup of wine now, so he's going to bench. So Yavule Kasachrino Ubarech, and he benched over a cup of wine. Now, that is not the accepted halacha, and the Gemara notes. Amar Abba Abba Reda Rabbi Chabar Abba, Shimon Meshetach the Avad, Ligarmehu the Avad. So he conducted himself in a manner, but in a manner that was specific only to him. Meaning, on this, like, don't try this at home. Don't bench over a cup of wine. He did this on his own. Now, it could very well be that it was justified, meaning, despite the fact that he clearly showed a level of confidence and he showed that he wasn't afraid of his brother-in-law, but the truth of the matter is his brother-in-law was, in fact, the king. The truth of the matter is that his brother-in-law killed many of the Chachmei Yisrael. So the idea that now he's going to help himself to a more lenient position so that he won't have to die. So it could be, I'm not justifying it, but it could be justified. Right? So although the Gemara says, don't try this at home, what the Gemara is not saying is he did wrong. Okay. So, you're going to lead in the Zimun, you must have Kezayis Dagan, you must have a measure of an olive, the volume of an olive of bread, literally of wheat, in order to be mostly others in Birchas Hamazon. Okay. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Allah v'hesiv imahem, afilo tavla imahem ela basir, velo achol imahem ela gerogeres, achas mitzarif. Now the Gemara quotes the Braisa, here quotes the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that is that you can have tzir or grogeres, right? Fish brine or a date. And you could be mitzarif for a zimun. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not a question. It's the roof of mitzarif of Allah Sitzarab Midechovasam Ashiochok Zayis Dagan. Meaning you want to be mitzarif, so you don't have to have bread. You can have anything less than bread. And you're going to be mitzarif for a zimun. We're talking about leading in the benching. For leading in the benching, you have to have Kazayis Dagan. Edom Ranami, the Gemara quotes another statement that supports this as well. Amrav Chana Bar Yehuda, Mishmei Derava. And the Gemara says very clearly, this is b'shem Rava, that to be mitzarif, you can have a food that's not bread. In order In order to be motzi others, you have to have bread. You have to have a kezias of bread. Okay. At this point in time, yeah. You know, let's just do three more lines of Gemara. I'm Rav Chana Bar, back to the Amud Beis. I'm Rav Chana Bar Yehuda Mishmei Derava Hilchasa Achal Ala Yerek V'Shasakos Shoyayim Mitzarif. If you eat a vegetable, you have wine, you can combine towards a zimun. Lehotzi ain't a motzi ashi ochel kezayis dagan. But in order to be motzi others, in other words, to lead in the zimun, so you're only going to be motzi only when you have kezayis dagan, only when you have bread. Okay, kezayis of bread. Good. So, one thing at a time. Just one thing at a time. Okay. This idea that you don't have to have bread to be mitzar for a zimun. Okay, the Gemara has established it. The Gemara has repeated it a number of times. A couple of things I'm going to go over, basic things. Toshosim. Toshosim on the Amud Aleph. If you go back to the Amud Aleph and you take a look, Toshosha sha'achlu dagam ve'achal yerek mitzarfin, ve'achi hilchosa she'echal sha'achal yerek, o sha'asakos yain, mitzarf ha'afilu nevarach sha'achanu, yechom lamar sha'arei shtia bechlal achila. And even to say the words nevarach sha'achalnu, think of the words you're saying. Right, nevarech. Let's bless the Kadosh Baruch Hu because achalna we ate, and you didn't eat; you just drank. But Tosfos says, but that doesn't bother me. In other words, drinking is part and parcel of eating. V'yesha wrote some lamar dahinu dafka lezimun asara. Aval l'shlosha lo mitzarfe dari la'el nami amachmin tfei b'tzir shlosha miasara. So now, is this true for three people and making a zimun of three, or is this flexibility only going to be true regarding a zimun of 10? So Tosfos says you could make a distinction, but Tosfos says mi b'Yerushalmi tani shnayim she'achlu pas ve'achad yerech mezamnin. But meanwhile, there's a Yerushalmi that says it beferish, that when it comes to even a zimun of three, two have bread and the other one has yerech, just a vegetable, that can create a zimun. Ve'chein pasuk ri b'Tosfos so, and the Ripasins this way as well. So in other words, so Tosfos says that there really you could make a distinction. But he feels there's no distinction. This idea that a person eating can be mitzarif and that person is not eating bread, so it's true by 10, it's true by 3 as well. And again, that's the halacha. The halacha is that when three people are eating together, if two ate bread and one ate non-bread but ate something, so now you can make a zimun.
The Gemara says you need a ruba, at least for a
ruba de
minkar. Right.
Ruba de minkar of 3 is 3.
Right. So there...
It is a
great mathematical problem because right with three there's only one option in terms of rov, right? It's only going to be two, so I don't know. It's unclear. In other words, but the rov over there is it's 2/3. It's 67%, as opposed to I know. It's in other words, what are we talking about? We're talking about here by 10. We're talking about the difference between 60% to 70%. I know it's really the numbers are really subtle. Okay. And it's a great point, and I'm not sure, but Tosfos says it very clearly. That is clear. By the way, what I didn't read in Tosfos, by the way, the Sar Mikutzi, the next part of Tosfos, where there are not all Rishonim are on board with this idea, and some Rishonim make a distinction between 3 and 10 in terms of that third person not having bread. Okay, so it's not a unanimous position, but it is a position and it is the accepted one, and it's a Yerushalmi. Okay, that is just one important point. Another important point is as follows, and this is a really large discussion, and I'm going to just give the highlights of this discussion, but it's really important. The Gemara just told us that if you're going to lead benching, so you have to have a kezias of bread. Now, let's go over the basics, and we're going to see this together numerous times in this parak. To be chayv in benching, so what does the Torah say? Va'achalta v'savata uveirachta. You're going to eat, and you're going to be satiated, and then you're going to bench. So the simple way to read the Torah and the simple way to understand the halacha is that you are only chayv min ha-Torah to bench only when you're full. Now, kezayis is not a lot. It's about 40 grams. It's really not a lot. And so yet the halacha is, despite the fact that the halacha is that we bench for kezayis, but that's only a din de rabbanan. That's not a din de araisa. We saw this earlier back in Daf Chaf in the Gemara over there that we bench for kezayis. That's lifnim mishur as a din. Meaning, according to the strict letter of the law, the Torah requires us to bench only when we're full, and the fact and the idea that we bench when we're there, kezayis, that's a din de rabbanan. So now, all the Rishonim say, what just happened over here? You had a kezayis of bread. So the Gemara repeats again and again, now you can lead in benching. What do the other people around the table eat? Now, if the other people around the table ate a kedesh via, so now it leads us to the following question. You're chayv only midarabanan. Everyone else around the table is chayv midaraisa. How are you going to be motzi everyone around the table, assuming, it's an assumption, that everyone around the table ate a kedesh via? Okay? Question asked and answers. So one thing I'll show you inside is Rashi. Rashi's bothered by this question. And Rashi writes, on Memches Amad Aleph, let's go back to the Amad Aleph, Umichi achu kazai stagin mi amapik lay af agav de kazai stagin shir de rabbanu, kidamar beperk mishamesu, mi kevin de mechaim de rabbanu mechui bedava karin and bay. I read the punchline of Rashi way too quickly, and I apologize. But it's not too late. Rashi says, look, I know you're chayv mid rabbanan, so, but Rashi writes, miyu, I'm going to reread it now, with emphasis, kevin de mechaim mid rabbanan, since you're chayv mid rabbanan, mechuyev bedava karin and bay. It's called being mechuyev bedavar. Rashi writes, I don't care how you're obligated. Are you obligated to bench? Good. That's all we need. It's a really interesting Rashi. And it doesn't matter what the level is, whether it's midarais or midarabanan. Okay, you're mechuyev bedavar. Okay, and then you can be motzi others. Now Rashi says, let me just first finish up the Rashi. Rashi then says, okay, I kind of hear that, but I don't hear that, because we did a gemara back on Daf Chaf. And Rashi says, "V'im tamer b'kanchi gilachinuch halo amar hachi." Let's go back to a gemara back on Daf Chaf. Remember the gemara back then? Was it some time ago? Okay, 28 days ago. But still, ha'hu afilu midraban l'mechayev dala davu hu derami lechanuche. Now Rashi already gives the answer before even asking the question, because of course we all remember the gemara over there. Let me refresh. The gemara over there says that the oilo, woe to the person who has got to have his child bench for him. Meaning he himself didn't receive enough of education, that now he needs his child to bench for him. So the Gemara says that's, you know, tavo me'era. That's a bad thing. The Gemara over there says, how is your son going to be benching for you? Meaning you're chayv min haTorah, your son's only chayv min derabanan. So how is that going to work? So the Gemara says, you ate a shear of a derabanan. You didn't eat a shear of a kezayis. Maybe that's what's going on over there. So Rashi says, wait one second. Everyone hear what I say? I say that mechuy b'davar means you're mechuy b'davar. It doesn't matter what the levels are. The Rabbanan, the Raisa, it should work under all circumstances. And meanwhile, the Gemara earlier said that the son can't bench for the father. What do you mean? The son's chayv. We're talking about a son who, by the way, who is not a bar mitzvah, but is at the age of chinuch. And so therefore, his chayv is a derabanan. So why can't he bench for his father, even if his father had a kedesh via? So Rashi over here invokes a really powerful idea. And that is that this mitzvah of chinuch is not on the kid at all. The mitzvah of chinuch is exclusively on the father. There is no din derabanan for the child to bench. The din derabanan of chinuch is for the father to be mechanech the child. That means that the child per se has no obligation. And that's why the Gemara says that the child cannot be motzi the father. Now, if you think about this answer, you have to wonder, well, if that's true, how then does the father now, who doesn't have didn't eat a shir of a daraisa, but a shir derabanan, how does that work under that circumstance, according to Rashi? Okay, that's a powerful question. Tosus, the question that I just asked, Tosus asked on Rashi. Okay, it's a tough question. Okay, and now I show you the Rashi inside. So again, we have over here the following dilemma: a person ate a kezayis of bread is only chayv midrabban, and he's being motzi others. How could he be motzi others? So the first position, the first approach I showed you is Rashi, where Rashi says that your mechuyev b'davar, it doesn't matter what level you are, the rabban and daraisa, and a darabban can be motzi daraisa. Just even that in of itself is so hard to understand. Meaning, throughout Shas, the Gemara talks about a derabanan not being motzi a daraisa. Why by the birchas of Muslim should we not make a distinction? It's hard to say, but Rashi says it. And what about the Gemara regarding the son not benching for his father? Because the son's obligation al chinuch is not on the son. The mitzvah of chinuch is specifically on the father, not on the son. So that is really blockbuster chidushim that are coming out of Rashi. In terms of other approaches, there's the Bahag. Rashi himself quotes the Bahag. The Bahag says that the Gemara over there is talking about a scenario where everybody's only eating on a derabanan level. meaning that is the assumption over there. Rashi doesn't like the Bahag. Tosfos quotes the Bahag. Tosfos doesn't like the Bahag. And then there's a third approach of Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it right now, but you can see Tosfos. It's the bottom Tosfos here on this Amud that spills over to the top of the Amud Beis, where Tosfos also is bothered by this. He quotes Rashi, he quotes the Bahag. He likes neither Rashi, he likes neither but the Bahag. He offers his own pshat. See Tosfos for a third approach in terms of how to deal with this. We go back to the Gemara, we're on Memches Amud Beis, and Amar Rav Nachman. We're in the top of Memches Amud Beis, about eight lines from the top of the Amud. First words in the line. Moshe Tikkun Leisrael Berachas Hazan, B'Shal She'ar Lehemman. So the Gemara now goes through the history of the three brachas of benching. Actually, sorry, four brachas of benching. So bracha number one, Moshe was Mistaki, Moshe instituted it. When the man came down in the Midbar, so the bracha, the first bracha, which thematically fits with this historical event, so Moshe was mistaken. Yeshua tikkun lahem brachas haaretz kevan shenichnasu la'aretz. And the same thing with the second bracha as it relates to Yeshua going into Eretz Yisrael. The theme of the second bracha is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and the fact that we acquired Eretz Yisrael. And David Shlomo tikkun bani Yisraelayim. David tikkun al Yisrael amcha ve'al Yisraelayim erechu. Shlomo tikkun al habayis hagadol v'hakadosh. And the third bracha, which is a blend of both Yerushalayim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that was a co-authored bracha by David and Shlomo, David over Yerushalayim, Shlomo over the Beis HaMikdash. And Atov Ve'Amita Bi'av Niftiknuha, Keneged Harugei Beitar. And the fourth bracha was written, authored in Yavne, and that is opposite, that's against the Harugei Beitar. Harugei Beitar, we're going to save till tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll discuss Harugei Beitar in much greater detail. The Amr of Masna Osa Yam Sheninu Harugei Beitar Lekvur Tiknu B'Yavne Atov Ve'Amitiv. That on the day where Harugei Beitar was allowed to be buried, so they instituted in Yavne this bracha Hatov Ve'Ameitiv. Hatov Shelo Hisrichu. The Hatov is that a miracle occurred where the bodies didn't decay. Ve'Ameitiv Shenitnu L'Kvura. And the second miracle, the follow-up miracle, is that they were allowed to bury those that were killed in Beitar. Again, the history, I'm going to go over tomorrow. Please come back tomorrow. Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara here quotes another brisa. Seder Brechas Amazon, Kachi. So what is Seder Brechas Amazon? So it's Brech Rishon Brechas Hazan. Shnei Brachos Aris, Shlishi Bonu Yerushalayim, Revias Atov Ve'Ameitiv. By the way, just an interesting note, you will never see the Gemara use the words Bone Berachamav Yerushalayim. Right? That was an insertion that was added. Not clear who added it. Questionable whether it belongs there. Most say it. Okay. It's just as far as don't say it. You're not going to find it in the Gemara. Okay, Bonu Yerushalayim, Revias Atov Ve'Ameitiv. Uve Shabbos Maskel Benechama Mesayim Benechama. Verma Kedusha Sayyam Be'emsa. Now in Shabbos. So there's a paragraph added for Shabbos. Where is it added? So it's added in the paragraph of Nechama. Now, everybody knows the paragraph of Nechama, right? What is the Gemara talking about? When the Gemara talks about the paragraph of Nechama, so the Gemara is talking about a paragraph of Rachim. Okay, well, with the third bracha of benching. The Gemara over here describes it as Nechama. So Rashi writes over here, first Rashi on the Amud, Klomar. Ain no tzarich lo l'sayim v'lo l'haskal b'shal Shabbos, ela maskal m'sayim b'nechama, binyan Yerushalayim kari nechama, the building of Yerushalayim is called nechama, kol heichi d'maskal bein, rachem bein, nachameinu. And Rashi says it doesn't matter how you open up the first bracha, the third bracha of benching, you can open up with rachem, or you can open up with nachameinu. Now Rashi makes this story now even more curious and more interesting. What's Rashi talking about? Meaning that for the third bracha of benching, there are multiple nuschos. There's a nusach of Rachim and there's a nusach of Nachmenu. And here we go to Tosfos. And Tosfos writes on this, V'yeshe matrilim, Tosfos, if you want to find me, Tosfos, Dibra Maskel B'schil B'Nechama, Tosfos about halfway down, a little bit less than halfway down. Last word in the line is V'yesh. V'yeshe matrilim B'Nachmenu. V'chos me'menechem atfiyon erecho v'men yishlaim. So some have the following minhag, that for the third bracha of benching, so they open it up with the words Nachmenu. And then they end with the chasima of Nechmat Tfiyah Nirecha Ubin Yerushalayim. V'nosnim tam l'divrem derachim havelashon tchina. Now, this was a Shabbos version of the third bracha. Meaning on Shabbos they had an entirely different version of the third bracha. And their argument was, you can't say rachim, because what's rachim? It's supplication. And it's Shabbos. And you can't do that. V'ein omrim tachanunim b'Shabbos, ava nachim ein olashon tachanunim. And the word Nachem is not supplication. So that is a minug that was in existence. And And Tosa says, I just don't hear it. I don't buy that argument. I don't even agree. He says, look, that's a nusach of the bracha. Okay, so on Shabbos, it, you know, comes off a little strange on Shabbos. But that's the nusach of the bracha. You keep with the nusach of the bracha. And Tosfos, second time today, uminek shtosu, hamishana bracha shochol. And if you take the nusach that we have during the week and you change it on Shabbos, so Tosfos describes as a minek shtos. Okay, so just as a quick recap of Tosfos today, so two minhagim, Tosfos describes today as a minek shtos. One, on the Amud Aleph, we need a minyan. We only have nine. There's a boy, hand him a sefer Torah. Now we have a minyan. Tosfos says minek shtos. Even though, by the way, Tosfos acknowledges it's a minhag, meaning people do it. And then number two is that for the third bracha of benching, there some people have a variant text of the third bracha of benching, feeling that rachim is a bakasha and it's not appropriate for Shabbos, and therefore they open up with nachmenu. And Rashi, by the way, I showed you the Rashi. He alluded to that as well. Tosfos says minhag shtos. It's not a minhag. And the correct minhag is to keep the nusach of benching on Shabbos the same it is during the week. Okay. Uvi Shabbos, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's finish up the daf. Uvi Shabbos matzchol benechama mesayim benechama varma kedushas yom beemtza. And you say kedushas yom in the middle. Rabbi Eliezer remembered tzela omra benechama benechama omra bebirchas haaretz omra bebirchas shetiknu chachamim biyavna omra. Rabbi Eliezer, in terms of where you want to insert the ritzei paragraph, you can put it in the second bracha, third bracha, you can put it in the fourth bracha, it's all good. Well, it's not all good, by the way. You can't put it in the first. Now, the Chachamim say, no, placement of Ritzei, the additional paragraph for Shabbos, is only in the third bracha, and that's it. Now, the Chachamim and Tanakam are saying the same thing, right? So the Gemara says, no, they're not saying it exactly the same. The difference between them is going to be b'di'evan. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, listen to the language of the Chachamim. Eina omra ela b'nechama b'vad. Strong language. Strong meaning that b'di'evan, you put it around another bracha, you were not yotzei. You got to go back. You got to repeat your benching. Tanur abanda minayin lebirchus amazim min haTorah. How do I know that benching is min haTorah? Shenemar v'achalta v'savatu uveirachta. And now what the Gemara is going to do here, again, the girsa of the Gemara is a little bit challenging. The Gon switches things around. In this particular instance, I'm just going to follow the Gemara as we have it in our nusach, but just know that it's a little bit out of sorts. Uveirachta zubirchus hazan. Es Hashem lokecha zubirchus hazimun. Right, you see what just happened over there. Hazan came before zimun. That's what the Gon is objecting to. Anyway, but we are basically slicing up the pasuk. Each phrase of the pasuk, each word of the pasuk alludes to a different bracha of benching. So alaaretz zubirchas aaretz. Now that's very easy. The words alaaretz is a reference to the bracha of Noda. Hatovez zubona Yerushalayim v'chino omer haratovezeva halavanon. The hatova is a reference to Yerushalayim, which is tov. Asher nasalach zu tova ameitiv. Now asher nasalach, that we're going to use for hatova ameitiv. Now why is that interesting? Because we said already a number of times in our parak, Hatova Meitiv is a bracha midrabanan. It was an addendum. And now in this brisa, we're darshing it out from a pasuk. That's interesting. Ainli ala la'achar alafanav minayin now. To bench after we eat, I understand. What about making a bracha before we eat? So here we saw this in the beginning of the sixth parak. Amar kavachamar kishu saveim aver kishu rav lo kol shekein. If you're going to have to make a bracha after you eat, then for sure you're going to have to make a bracha before you eat while you're hungry. Rabbi Omer Einu Tzarech V'Achalta V'Savata V'Rachta Zubirchus Hazan. So, Rabbi says, not necessary. The Achalta Savata V'Rachta is a reference to Birchus Hazan, the first bracha. Ava Birchus Hazimun, Migadlu Hashem Iti Nafka. Now, the Birchus Hazimun, that's extracted from the Pasuk of Gadlu, as we saw in the beginning of our Perek. And then, Ala Aretz Zubirchus Aretz, Atova Zubonu Shlaim, V'Cheinu Omer Haratova Zeval Avanon, Hatova Emetiv B'Yavne Tanua. Now, according to Rabbi, we don't need a drasha for Hatov Amitiv, why? Because he's of the opinion that it's a bracha midrabanan. Ainli alalach rav lefanam minayin tamalam asher nasan lach. Now, what about the bracha Rishona? So here Rebbe darshins out from a pasuk, asher nasan lach. Misha nasan lach. From the moment that it's given to you. Rebbe Yitzchak omer einot tzarech. Rebbe Yitzchak says unnecessary. Harei omer uvarech es lach mecha ves meimecha. The pasuk says that your bread and your water are going to be blessed. Al tikrei uveirach. Ela uvarech. So we're going to play on the pasuk of Kriyuk Siv. And it could be pronounced, it's not pronounced, but it could be pronounced uvarech. Now you're gonna bless bread. It's bread before you eat it. Meaning after you eat it, you don't call it bread anymore. Right, so that is the source of making a bracha rishona. Rabbi Nasan Omer Inu Tzarich Hari Omer Bevoachem Kivoachem Ha'ir Kintim Simosom B'Term Yaleh Haba Masalecho Ki Lo Yochol Am Ad Ba'u Ki Hu Yivarech HaZevach Achrei Kein Yachlu HaKru'im. We just quoted a lengthy excerpt from Shmuel Aleph where Shaul is looking. He lost his Asonos and he's looking everywhere for the Aton. And he doesn't know and he was sent to go to Shmuel because Shmuel the Navi is going to tell him where to find it, and he's looking now for Shmuel to find his Aton, and he encounters these girls, and he asks them, "Where's Shmuel?" And they tell him, "Don't worry, he's coming." But that's
why do we need a source for that? We
know. Wait, one second. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me first finish the thread, and then I'll pause. So and he looks for. And he's now looking for Shmuel, and the girls say, "Oh, he's coming." But that's not what they say. They give him a really long answer, right? And Kevorachem Ayir Kaintim Simasam B'Terem Yale Abamasa Lechol Ki Lo Yochal Amad Bo Ki Hu Yivarech HaZevach. So that was a long answer, and as opposed to just simply saying he's coming, don't worry. So V'Chol Kach Lama. So now the Gemara is quoting this pasuk just to show us that you make a bracha before you eat. But as long as we're here, the Gemara just can't help itself. And the Gemara wants to know, why did they give such a long answer? Or let's put the question a little bit differently. Why does the Navi feel so important to record the long answer that they gave him? Obviously, if it's in the Navi, so it's something for us to learn from. So number one, Lefisha Nashim Dabranio saying, so okay, so women like talking. And the Gemara is not making that as a comment of to downplay. In other words, to understand women. Women talk. And that's just simply the nature of women. Ushmol Amakadili Stakal Biyafyo Shoshol. Or to understand the beauty of Shaul. Shaul was such a handsome man, so they want to spend more time looking at him. Or the third answer of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amar Lefishei Malchus Nogas Bechaverta, Afilu Kamolo Nima. Or the third possible answer of the Gemara is that, look, it wasn't the time for transition. And even though, what are we talking about? We're talking about seconds. But still, the time for transition hasn't occurred yet between going from Shmuel to Shaul. And so therefore, we filibuster, so that the exact time of when the transition occur should hit it precisely on the clock. Not on our clock, on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's clock. Okay, those are the three answers. Anyway, what do we get? Just give me a second. What do we get from all this? What we get from all this is that you make a bracha rishona. How do we get here? So Rashi, I know with the Gemara's three answers, you get a little lost. But Rashi brings us back. Rashi says, remember, what one of the things the girl said of the many is that, oh, and when Shmuel comes back here, so he's going to make the bracha, right? You go to the bar mitzvahs, and they ask somebody to make the bracha. That was Shmuel. Shmuel made the bracha, and the Huomer bracha Sher Kishan Mitzvah Tzivanu Lecholos Azevach VeHeichan Tzivanu VaHabasar Tochal. Okay, and Rashi quotes the pasuk from Re'eh that when you're eating from the zevach. So, which is a mitzvah, so you have to make a bracha. Now, it's interesting because, like, we made a little bit of a jump. We went from Birchas HaZevach to Birchas HaMotzi. Okay, not exactly the same, but it's the same basic idea. Yes?
No, what we said before, in the beginning, we can have a no for anything before making a bracha. So
yeah, but that's a svara.
It's a svara.
Okay, good. So, this is a drasha.
Okay.
It's drasha, like I'm
on the
gun.
Okay, your question is really fair. I don't know. Ein li ela birchas hamazon, birchas haTorah minayin. Finishing up the daf. So now we have sources for birchas hamazon, right? Various viewpoints. By the way, how many in total in this brisa? This was a long brisa. The brisa, just to recap, the brisa had the position, the Tanakama, Rebbe as in Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe Yitzchak the Tana, Rebbe Nasan. I'm counting now four opinions in this brisa, exactly how the drushas work. Now we're into Birchas HaTorah. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer. Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't need a drasha for Birchas HaTorah. Achai Shem Avarcha, Achai Olam Abalo Koshekein. If you're going to bless the Kadosh Baruch Hu for just a food which will, keep us on this world a little bit, so you can only imagine Torah, which is Chai Olam, so of course you have to make a bracha on Torah. Rabbi Chia Bar Nachman Talmidosh, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So one of the students of Rabbi Shmuel, of course, Rabbi Shmuel says, Eino Tzarech. Now, it's interesting because the student of Rabbi Shmuel is disputing what Rabbi Shmuel said. Or, again, it could very well be that, in other words, in Shir, Rabbi Shmuel said both. Could be. Anyway. And this is what's called the Gzir Shava. Right? We have the word Nasan, or some derivative of the root of Nasan in both places. One's referencing benching, the other's referencing Kabbalah Satorah. Okay. This, by the way, this week's Parsha. Rabbi Meir Omer, meaning the Pasuk Vet Nalachas Luchos. Rabbi Meir Omer Minayin Shekashem Shemavarech La Tova Kach Mavarech La Ra. You make a bracha on both Tov and Ra. Tamalama Asher Nasan Lach Hashem Lokecha. Dayancha Bechol Din Shedancha Bein Mida Tova Bein Mida Puranios. And you have to make a bracha on everything. And how does this have anything to do with Birchas HaTorah? So Rashi writes, Rashi here really succinct, but right to the point, Bein Mida Tova HaTorah Mida Tova Hi. Because Torah is a Mida Tova. And so since Torah is a Mida Tova, so you have to bench on Torah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerah Omer Eino Tzarech Harei Omer. Tova HaTova. The extra hay. Tova Zu Torah V'cheinu Omer Ki Lechach Tov Lasati Lechem HaTova Zu Ben Yerushalayim V'cheinu Omer Har HaTov Hazev HaLevanon. And so from the extra hay, we derive an extra drasha to get us to both the brachas of benching, specifically the third bracha of benching, and Birchas HaTorah. Let's recap our morning. We have, in the beginning of today's daf, we said who could be mitzarif for our zimun. So although there were a lot of suggestions at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara says cancel that, but rather the halacha falls like Rav Nachman, you have a katan hayodeya l'mi mevarchin, so you can include him. Okay, we went over this morning the really interesting sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. What got canceled, what didn't get canceled from yesterday's daf? In terms of the halacha, Rabbeinu Tam's really interesting position that the snif la asara, you could be extraordinarily makel, and you can even include even a baby. Okay, Tosos over here quoted the minug of counting a child, a boy holding a sefer Torah. So the he says the minug shtos, he does not like that as a minug. The other big topics that were on the Amud Aleph, not all 10 have to eat bread. How many of the 10 need to eat bread? So the Gemara vacillates between the number 6 and 7. 6 because that's Rov, 7 because it's Ruba Dominkar. And the Gemara gives an unclear conclusion in terms of whether the number should be 6 or 7. The Gemara told us the story of Yanai Melech and Shema Meshetach, right? One of the well-known stories of our Perek, where there, Shema Meshetach, under the protection of his sister, came in to bench on behalf of Yanai Melech after he killed off Chachmei Yisrael. The tension between them, and the halachic conclusions of the Gemara. He benched, although he only had a cup of wine. That was something he did on his own. That was not the halachic conclusion. Rather, in order to lead in benching, you have to have Kazai's Dagan, which then led us to a really big discussion. Kazai's Dagan, you're only Chayim Midrabanan, and you're going to be mostly people who had a Kedei Sviya. Rashi says yes, the Bahag says no. Tosos, we didn't go through together, but Tosos says yes as well. How does that work? So Rashi and Tosfos both give arguments in terms of how that should work. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through the history of the four brachas of benching, where each was authored, and thematically why it was that historically each was authored in that particular situation. We went through then the second half of the Amud Beis, drashas. A lot of drashas getting us to the three, maybe four brachas of benching, the Birchas HaTorah. Those may be, the benching for sure is a bracha min haTorah. Sounds like Birchas HaTorah also is a bracha min haTorah. At least that's the impression you get from today's daf.